Hey, everybody, this is Corey from AU Radio, and I just wanted to remind you that we're coming up on our 100th episode. We'll be doing the episode live in the Caterpillar Cafe, 5 p.m. on June 2nd. Live music, a $500 prize giveaway. Come down and hang out with us. We want to see as many of you as possible. Have a good one, and thanks for listening.
Welcome to your home for news, reviews, and interviews. Welcome to AU Radio.
Woo.
With us this week, we've got a couple people showed up. Sitting in for Corey Dunbar is his cousin, Duck Dunbar. Welcome to the show, Duck.
Hello, everybody.
Sitting next to him, we got George.
Hello.
Sitting next to him is absolutely nobody.
Oh.
To my left, we got Miss Katie.
I don't have anything better to do.
I'm sorry.
I'm kidding. Hi, Donnie.
Sad.
And on the boards this week, we got Travis.
Hi.
And we're hoping everything works out fine. If you're actually listening to this, yay, we won.
He did his best.
I, of course, am your plucky sidekick, Donnie. This is episode 99. It's not a tumor. Oh,
holy crap, 99?
99 of these things. Actually, we're a little over 99 because we've had a couple specials, but...
Oh, that's fair. But officially on the board.
99.
Mark it 8.
But we can call it whatever we want anyway, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. Donnie just picked random numbers for a couple episodes. It's fine.
One time, many years ago, in the long, long ago... Donnie had a dyslexic moment, and they still won't let him live it down.
You can build 10,000 bridges, Donnie, but you make up one episode number, and that's what you're remembered for.
Speaking of 99, next week, episode 100 will be coming to you live Sunday, June 2nd from the Caterpillar Cafe at 5 p.m.
Yeah!
Sunday!
You heard it here first.
You buy a ticket for the whole chair, but you'll only need the edge, folks.
Yes.
So listen to that episode. There'll be a secret code word and some other hijinks that you got to do, and you might be eligible to win a $500 prize package, courtesy of a lot of people.
The powers that be.
And we will definitely mention them on the episode.
Once I know who's donating what, sure.
Yeah.
So... with the episode being not a tumor, guess what we're going to talk about right out of the gate?
Arnold.
Arnold. We don't have a one-pack, a two-pack, a three-pack. Nay, we have 5 Arnold Schwarzenegger stories to start the show with.
Oh, my God.
All right.
So, a couple hours ago, the new Terminator trailer for Dark Fate dropped. What was everybody's...
Visually, it looks amazing.
Stunning.
It is the Terminator that I'm sure we deserve, but not the Terminator movie that I want.
So we kind of mentioned this at one point. I'm at the point where in order for the Terminator franchise to actually get back to where it needs to be, we need to wipe the slate completely 100% clean and start fresh. We have mucked up the timeline, something fierce at this point. And I don't know which kids of Sarah Connor's done what. I don't care. There's grandkids running around now with guns.
So I disagree, because the first time I ever watched Terminator, and I knew that there were sequels because I'm 5 years old. So the scene where Reese is telling Sarah basically what became of the human race when John Connor decided, like, no, and he formed an uprising... where there were human farms, basically. And, I mean, not to be insensitive or anything, but they were essentially concentration camps, and then it was the build of that revolution there. I want that story. Why can't I have that movie? We've talked about it for how many years, and I want it so bad, and nobody's going to give it to me, and I'm really upsetty spaghetti about it.
So you want the movie based totally in the future, the post-apocalyptic.
Yes.
The tanks running over the skulls. You want a movie entirely in that realm.
Yes. Okay. Why is that so much to ask? I don't understand why it's like, okay, so the Terminators took over and everybody's in these like horrible little camps just building more Terminators, and then John Connor is like, screw this. and just goes full action hero. Why is that so much that?
Didn't they kind of hit on that? The one with Christian Bale?
No. Terminator Salvation? No, that was post. They were out of the camps. They were out of that. They had their own base going.
Oh, so they
going.
Went too far into the
yes.
future.
Right.
Okay, I got
yes.
you.
Yes, that is the story that I have always wanted from Terminator, and I can't have it because it would be a horror movie.
Is it true that he has that James Cameron has not been on these movies for a while?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the first one he's been on in like four movies.
Gotcha.
So.
Okay.
Which means he probably started this film in what 1987. And
probably,
it's just now being finished because that's how James Cameron works.
I'm just expecting giant blue people with ponytails right. to show up. And
this is really going to be the Avatar sequel. Yeah,
this is
what
this
you're
is
saying.
The lead into the
Surprise!
Avatar universe.
So I'm with you, Donnie, on the fact that to wipe the slate clean or whatever, but this is one of those movies that no matter what movie is made, it's going to be scrutinized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's going to be. You're only going to please a portion of the audience.
Yeah.
So it's almost like it doesn't matter what they make, someone's going to be pissed.
True.
If they wipe the slate clean, there's no Arnold Schwarzenegger. So you're going to have 33% of the audience saying, we're not going to watch it because there's no Arnold Schwarzenegger
right,
in this one.
Yeah.
It's not Terminator without Arnold Schwarzenegger. So I'm not sure what they could do. But I like Katie's screenplay right now. I think we should go get that made.
So concentration camp movies are a hard sell.
Yeah,
Hollywood.
I would imagine.
No,
you know,
but
Schindler's
that's,
List
like,
is
that's,
probably the last one that made.
But that's
money.
Essentially. I'm not trying to be offensive or anything, but that's essentially what the story is
right.
of just like an entire genocide, but just of everybody.
I'm guessing the cost involved in doing because first off,
right.
you got to.
They're
figure
not being
out,
racist. They're killing everybody.
Right.
So
right.
that might be okay in that. No, I'm agreeing with you. You might be able to get past that one passed.
What I will tell you is because I'm a diehard Terminator fan. I am a firm believer that Terminator is one of the greatest love stories ever told. I memorized every line, every curve. I love you, Sarah. I always have. So, but every diehard Terminator fan I've always met has always been like, yeah. So I like this one and this one and this one and the rest of them suck.
Right. Don't exist.
Yeah, like they're terrible.
So the snippet that I took out that I thought was most interesting is they're going to be taking an aged Edward Furlong's face and superimposing it onto another actor.
Huh. But they're not. But they're still going to go with old man Arnold.
Arnold.
Right?
Yes. Arnold.
That doesn't make any sense.
Not at all.
Why do Terminators age? I don't understand.
But have you seen Edward Furlong in the last 5 years?
No, he looks terrible.
A little rough.
A little rough around the edges.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
In our second Schwarzenegger story, True Lies, the TV show, will be actually coming to Disney Plus.
Interesting. Huh. As original content.
As original content. We're going to get True Lies, which I didn't know it was a Disney property at all. So
I didn't either. Now, that film might be one of my favorite Arnold Schwarzenegger films. That's yeah. actually a really good movie.
That was the Jamie Lee Curtis
yes.
one.
Yes.
Yes, I do like that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it wasn't Alyssa Milano, was it?
Yeah, it was Alyssa Milano.
Okay. Well, she was also in Commando, right? She was the kid in Commando? Okay.
Yeah, she definitely was in Commando.
Yeah, that's why
now,
I didn't think she
I'm
was in True Lies. That's why. I'm 99% sure she was in Commando, but if she's done two Schwarzenegger films, that would be the other one. I know there was some famous kid in that one. In the third Schwarzenegger story of the week, Arnold Schwarzenegger was at the Arnold Classic in South Africa, shaking hands, signing autographs, when, we'll call him a fan, came flying out of the background and did a flying drop kick into Arnold.
In overzealous? Is that what you're going with?
Sure.
So it's a straight, for those of you that haven't seen this, it's a straight shot of Arnold's face. And Arnold's just having a great time, like meeting fans and signing stuff. And like people are like, you're like such a big inspiration to me. And he's like, oh my God, thank you so much. It's so kind of you to say. And then just this little whippersnapper just runs up behind him and just kicks his feet up in the air and just hits him in the small of the back. Arnold doesn't even fall down. He just stumbles 2 feet forward. The kid's on the ground and security's immediately on him. It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
So
I don't understand.
This has to be a classic case of taking off your clothes and running across the baseball field.
Yeah, but with assault.
Right. But this is like, you know, Arnold, like he's the tough guy, you know, back in the old West, like the the main trope, and I read a lot of Western novels and stuff. One of my kind of guilty pleasures is old, you know, Louis L'Amour and Zane Grey stuff. Mm-hmm. And one of the main tropes that they always go back to is, like, the best gunfighter in town always gets challenged.
Yeah.
That's why it's such a hard life, because some dumb kid thinks he's going to take down the best gunfighter in town, and then his name will be gold. So I think this guy lost his mind. Is like, if I take down Arnold, I'm going to be like a hero or
but
whatever.
But he doesn't, though. That's the best part about
and
this
And then he
thing.
Fails miserably and then gets his butt kicked.
Can you imagine having all of, like, just standing there in the stadium, like, having all this buildup, like, okay, I'm going to do it. And then you just give it your all. Right. And he doesn't, and he barely even moves. And you're like, this was all for nothing.
He stumbles about a foot and a half, turns around, and is like, what just happened?
Right. And he, like, bounces off. Like, I think he bounced off Arnold farther than Arnold kicked.
He was, like, 5 feet away from the contact point. It was hysterical.
And then the bodyguards just swarm in, so I kind of feel bad for this kid. Because
what a pathetic little brat. Well, no, I mean, don't feel bad for him at all. He knew exactly what was going to happen.
Yeah,
no, I have no
now
sympathy.
Now he'll probably be destined to a life of, like, poverty. He'll probably be outcast by his family. He's, like, so going to have to move to a different country now.
He's at a job interview, and it says here that you have a criminal record. What were you arrested for? I drop kicked Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm sorry, what was that? No, I don't feel bad for him at all.
Get out of my store.
Speaking of flying drop kicks, Kung Fury 2 is getting a full-length film with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Michael Fassbender starring.
Get out of town.
No.
Oh, my God.
For those that you don't know, Kung Fury was a short independent film made in 2015.
To put it succinctly, Kung Fury was a masterpiece.
It's the greatest 20 minutes on Netflix.
I love that thing so much. It reminds me of Murder Falcon in a short.
No, yeah. Like, Kung Fury is, like, the perfect movie. Also, I highly recommend watching it inebriated because
probably better even.
None of it makes sense, and you're just like, this is the greatest story ever told.
Okay, so let's go down this rabbit hole. What are they doing? Like, other than feature length, having Michael Fassbender and Arnie, have they said anything else yet?
All they said was they signed those two, and it's going to be a full length movie.
That's phenomenal.
Theatrical release.
Phenomenal.
That sounds awesome.
Best story. We're done. That's, like, the best story of the week.
Good night, everybody.
Stop podcasting right now.
Does that get him the belt?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, yeah, Donnie.
If nobody else earns it, that's definitely yours.
It's a little early in the show. Let's hold on.
All right.
Because I'm going to disappoint you at some point tonight.
Just waiting for you to let us down, Uncle Donnie.
Not to steal your thunder or anything, but you might lose that with the next story that you have, not to read your notes or anything.
Before we get to that, we still got a Schwarzenegger story.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
before
yeah.
we leave the... True Lies. I want to go back to True Lies real quick. Mm-hmm. Was there any premise announced for that, or
it was just that True Lies will have a television series on Disney Plus?
Is it going to be like Tom Arnold and Arnold Schwarzenegger back together again?
I doubt it.
Couple. They're just in an apartment.
I doubt they're going to sign either. maybe Tom Arnold, but I doubt they're going to get Schwarzenegger for television series.
I could buy into a Tom Arnold, Arnold Schwarzenegger, modern day Odd Couple as the former True Lies.
I imagine them like asking Arnold, like, hey, do you want to do this? And he just laughs at them and goes, do you have any idea how much money I have? Do you have any idea how much I don't need to do this?
Yeah, but I think his ego, I think he would take anything right now. I mean, he's still a little untouchable with all his, you know, things, his checkered past, the whole maid kid situation.
His son actually graduated college this week.
Congrats, Eric Banning.
Whoever you are.
Yeah.
Congratulations, kid.
Bandersnatch. Eric Bandersnatch.
So our final bit of Schwarzenegger news. George Clooney came out this week and said that Schwarzenegger was paid 20 times more than he was for Batman and Robin.
What?
In 1997. Schwarzenegger was paid $25 million for that role back in 97.
Yeah. I believe that.
Yeah, because...
That was back when he had all the power in the world.
Schwarzenegger was the biggest.
That's more money than Hellboy made domestically.
Right?
Oh, that's horrible.
No, he was one of the, if not the biggest name in Hollywood at the time. Sure. Like,
right, and this was a bit part, if you remember Mr. Freeze in that movie. Yep. He wasn't there all that much.
Because you know the first time he was asked to do that, he said no, and they're like, we'll give
us a number. Sure. And he's like, $25 million.
Right.
And
they're like,
okay.
He wrote down one of those stupid numbers, and they were like, we will have the helicopter drop the case tomorrow in your backyard.
we have to have Arnold.
He would have made such a better Bane. I'm just thinking about that for the first time. That would have been so much better.
No, but. not in that movie.
Well, not the way they portrayed him. But if they actually, if they had done two things, if they had made him Bane and actually made him like the comic book Bane, that could have been really good.
Yeah. No, I totally would have
been Monkey Bane.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
But
right.
You have to remember too that
no more monkey business.
At that time, when was Batman Forever? 97?
Yeah.
George Clooney wasn't George Clooney in 1997.
No, you're right.
He was still on ER at the time, wasn't he? I mean, he was still...
This was still coming. I mean, I know it came a few years later, but one of the biggest things he did at the time, I think, was still From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah.
So, he wasn't...
And honestly, that movie didn't make that much
money. No, that wasn't a... You know, he didn't become, Playboy George Clooney then. I mean, it was... I think the Batman kind of was... What sort of started him into the stratosphere of being the
So the bat nipples?
The bat nips.
Yep.
Yeah.
So speaking of Dusk Till Dawn, did any of you get to see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the trailer?
Yes. Yeah. Cannot wait. Been following that one for a long time. And I just saw an interview clip. Of course, they're already starting to cause trouble. They had a big press conference with Pitt was there, DiCaprio, Tarantino, Margot Robbie sitting right next to Tarantino. And were you going to talk about this? Okay. The first question of the entire press conference, a lady stands up and says, Quentin, in your movies, we know they're very planned out and these kind of things. And we just wanted to know why you had such a beautiful young actress like Margot Robbie and you didn't give her any lines. She has way less lines in this movie than anybody else, and going down that road of, you're against women and all this kind of stuff.
Have you seen Kill Bill? Literally one time. Have you seen it one time?
You got to be careful with the floors up here. We're going to fall through.
To Tarantino's credit, he just looked at her in the eye very calmly with his little, kind
Tarantino
of serial
smirk.
Killer grin that he has. Yeah. And he's like, I reject your hypothesis.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And then Margot Robbie stepped up and said, I had the best, she totally was like, this is the movie. I took the role. I knew what the movie was going to be. But I just sometimes it's just in the wrong place and the wrong time for these people to be asking these questions. I mean, they're trying to celebrate this movie. And right out of the gate, they just someone's trying to torpedo it.
Look, here's the thing. I understand that we are in a generation where people that are marginalized groups are actually finally starting to get stories that are told about them. And I understand the integrity of that. I understand the value of that. It doesn't need to be every single story because then you're just placating.
Right?
Then you're just doing fan service and you're not trying to tell a good story.
Well, this is about a stuntman in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, yes, the neighbor was Sharon Tate. Great, she's in the movie. I mean, I don't know what they expected her to be the lead role. I mean, that's not what the movie's about.
Right.
It's about...
And
anyways.
It's a period piece, if you think about it.
Right,
so.
Right.
Sure, yeah, so anyways, I just don't want anybody to get discouraged by that, because this movie is going to be amazing.
That woman is an idiot at me. I need to have a conversation with you and tell you what a stupid person
you are. We want her name. We want
her social security number. I need her address. I need her shoe size.
Because we are going to send her an angry worded email.
And a nice pair of shoes.
In a story that's bound to calm Katie way down, a petition has been started to get Kirsten Stewart to play Catwoman.
Yes.
Oh my God.
I am so about this.
No. Okay. Derek, plead your case.
Here's my case. I think she's a pretty freaking good actress.
You're wrong.
No,
but go ahead.
Not wrong.
I'm perfectly fine with the other guy.
Absolutely. I would make a case for him as well.
I'm not.
I think she could play.
Other chick couldn't act herself out of a cardboard box.
I have a question. What has he done other than the Twilight
A bunch
movies?
Of independent stuff.
So nothing mainstream
I don't
since
think so.
Then?
I think he's done some Broadway and stuff,
the
too.
The biggest thing
some...
he did was Water for Elephants, and he was really good in that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm playing catch up like I did with the Robert Pattinson news. Is that the girl from Twilight?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes. No,
what is happening?
You understand. Okay.
I doubt it'll happen. I mean, it'll certainly never happen. I mean, there's no way you could put those two back on screen together.
God.
Oh my
dear
Lord.
I think she could play a Catwoman.
No, she couldn't. No, she couldn't. How do you understand why? First of all,
no, tell me.
First of all, Kristen Stewart is
Donnie
the human.
Set this up just for
is
the fireworks.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
He's about to have a stroke over there.
Sorry. Go.
Kristen Stewart is the human embodiment of a blank piece of paper. That woman could not act to save her life. She is worse than Ruby Rose. She is so horrible. She's also a really bad person.
Why is she a bad person?
Please send your email to.
I'm seriously.
I swear to God, I'm not kidding. I just ripped a huge hole in my leggings from gripping it so hard.
Ow.
So.
Don't do that. What?
So, Catwoman. The reason why she can't play Catwoman is the entire point of Catwoman is she's the personification of feminine sexuality and just the pillar of like femininity and just the personification of that. You mean to tell me that Kristen Stewart is capable of that? No way. I'm not saying that I need a Michelle Pfeiffer. I'm not saying that I need a Nichelle Nichols. I'm saying that she is bad for it. I don't need another Anne Hathaway.
What if they're trying
Nichelle
to...
Nichols? O'Hara?
No, not Michelle.
I was like,
no, Eartha Kitt. My bad.
So, but what if the direction they're taking the film is that they want to portray the modern woman and not the 19th?
That's not what the modern woman is at all in the slightest. No. No.
Are we going to get a sparkly Batman?
I will kill someone. I will commit murder.
Well, vampires do turn into bats.
You're right.
That's true.
Oh, my God. He had the resume all along.
No, he didn't.
He's already got on the job training.
No, he
Katie.
Didn't. You know
what? I just found out that Kristen Stewart is 3 months and 3 days older than I am, and that kind of makes me feel a little bad in my heart. Just throwing that out there.
Thanks, George.
It's not like you're the same zodiac sign. It's fine.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you, Katie. Silver linings.
Right? It's fine. Oh,
speaking of totally pointless petitions being signed, one that's got a huge amount of attention this week is there's a petition going around to cast Danny DeVito as Wolverine.
Oh, my God.
I would absolutely watch that.
At this
that.
Point, why not?
Yeah, sure.
And it's actually gaining some traction. Like
a lot of traction.
Like, people are actually signing. Here's the thing. Do I want him actually in the MCU? No, but I would love to see a short of him as Wolverine just, like, waddling around with the claws that are, like, twice as tall as he is.
Just think of the Cannonball special.
Oh, my God.
He would be so effective at that.
I would...
a little ball of man just with his claws pointing out. Oh, my God. This is so good.
So let's rewind. We love Danny DeVito as Wolverine, we hate Robert Pattinson as Batman.
Because he's actual...
We're being a
like,
little hypocritical
He's
here.
Actual DC Universe Batman. No, that I have a problem with. What I don't have a problem with is a tiny little short, just some Marvel fan service to the fans of, like, here's, like, at the most 10-minute short of... Danny DeVito is Wolverine.
It would be cool if he showed up like in Deadpool. I could see him like in Deadpool 3.
Yeah.
Danny DeVito Wolverine on some kind of, you know, maybe an end credit scene or, you know, just something funny like a small.
Oh,
little,
yeah. That would be super fun.
That would be interesting.
So while I'm sad that we never really got to see a true Affleck Batman, we got glimpses is all I feel like we got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to give Pattinson a bye until I actually see some footage. I hated Heath Ledger being announced
as
the Joker. Like, I was livid, and then I saw him in action, so I'm going to wait.
And that's why I usually withhold judgment, because it's like, they could surprise you. Maybe they have depth, and they haven't been allowed to show it.
And the last Twilight movie was, what, well over a decade ago, right?
Yeah.
I think he's off the radar enough that he's one of those off-the-radar guys that I like in these major roles.
And see, I have seen Kirsten Stewart. She was in America in Alpha. The one with
American Ultra.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah,
and she hasn't improved.
She's
the one with Lex Luthor.
Yes,
I'm gonna. No, she's garbage. She's a garbage human being, and I hate her. Celebrity deathmatch, Kristen Stewart. I just hate her so much. So,
can
but
we
the
stop
thing
talking
with,
about Twilight.
But the Robert Pattinson thing, like I will say, and we talked about this last week. Nobody hates Twilight more than Robert Pattinson. He openly is like, no, that was like the darkest point in my career, and I'm so ashamed of
it. That kind of makes me feel better about him.
Right? Yeah. So he talks crap about Twilight more than anybody. Right. So
yeah, and he was good in Harry Potter, and that was before that.
Yeah, he was in Cedric the movie
Cedric
for Diggory.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Diggory. Duggery.
Yeah. But
yeah.
He, but like, that was him. He was yeah. in that movie for like 10 minutes, and all he did was die. Spoilers. But,
yeah, but
he wasn't garbage.
You didn't want him to die.
Derek was watching that tonight after the podcast.
Actually, no. So
Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire?
Last year, about this time, I had never seen any Harry Potter movies.
Okay.
So Corey had been telling me for years, you should just watch it. I think you'll like
yeah.
it. Okay. So I watched the first one. I texted him back. Dude, this was really great.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I can't wait to watch the second one. And I was going to start watching them. And then like that very next week on the podcast, he says like the major spoiler at the end of like
oh,
the
God.
Fourth
oh,
film
no.
or whatever.
Oh, no.
And I was like, sixth, you yeah.
he
does I don't know what happened.
I haven't watched the second one because
the second. First of all, the second one is the best one.
Who's
I will tell you.
Who the guy, the actor that just died, that was really good character actor, black hair in that
Rickman?
Movie.
Oh
yeah, Alan Rickman.
Oh yeah.
What was his character?
He died a
in
few
Harry
years
Potter?
Ago. Snape. He was Professor Snape. Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, Corey was like Snape killed what's his name?
Dumbledore. Yeah.
Voldemort
Again,
or whatever.
Spoilers. Sorry, yeah. guys.
Yeah. He said it on the podcast, so he already broke that wall open. And I was like, and so I'm listening at home. I'm like, you son of a bitch. I just told you I started the series. So,
to be fair, Derek.
To be fair.
It is way past the 2-week mark.
No,
so,
I know.
Like,
I know.
Jaws kills a bunch of people, by the way.
Quint dies.
What?
Yeah.
In our third bit of petitions that will do no good.
Oh, God.
Game of Thrones fans have amassed over a million signatures trying to get the writers to rewrite the entire final season.
Because that's possible.
Right?
Let's talk about waste of time for 400 Alex.
There's no way. There's, like, no. Plus, I mean, they're getting a bunch of spinoffs, aren't they? I mean, at least one I thought they were talking about.
There's, like, three.
Yeah.
But I think two of them are prequels.
You know what I heard?
Yeah.
People kind of petitioning for, not necessarily like actually signing petitions or anything, but like actually being like, hey, this would be cool. I would be so down for a Game of Thrones animated series. No? All right. Well,
in
just
what,
me.
Like,
oh,
in
goodbye, everybody.
No, like
no.
on Adult Swim?
No,
I was just trying to like.
No,
yeah, no, like literally.
Be,
yeah.
It would have to be
like Netflix.
Or Netflix.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Like still
yeah.
do, because the comic series is gorgeous and it's amazing.
They did get really good artists.
Yeah.
Are there boobs in that?
Yeah.
Okay. How could there not? It's Game of Thrones. I mean,
you may proceed.
It's
go
really
on.
Good.
Go on.
No, but that was the thing of people being like, okay, so we know that the story continues. It was whenever they were like, this is going to be the last season. Mm-hmm. And for a little bit, everybody was freaking out. They're like, but there's still more books. There's still more story. And they're like, no, we know, but after this, we're done.
Right.
We've told the story that we wanted to tell. And
then we're going to go do a Star Wars show.
Yeah,
so bye, guys.
Yeah.
Aren't they taking over the Star Wars universe
they're doing
now?
They're doing one of the shows that they have
yeah.
in the pipeline. Which
Star Wars
I had
with
a
boobs.
Dirty thought that, I don't know if it was an actual rumor, but the idea that they would do a Knights of the Old Republic show would
they
be
are.
Amazing. That's
they
the one
are.
They're doing? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that would be huge.
That sounds perfect for them.
Yes.
Like a nice even follow-up.
Yeah.
For...
yeah, that's the one that they're working on.
That's cool.
So.
Good stuff.
Although I am not 100% sure if that's going to be live action. I'm assuming it is, just because everything else that they've announced Star Wars-wise for that channel has been live action.
Right.
Yeah.
So we'll see. You know where else you could hear about the Game of Thrones comic?
In the dusty corner?
Over there?
Over where?
Where we don't have music.
I don't have that clip.
Ah!
So, insert here.
Pretend it's happening right now. Maybe it is. We don't know. We're flying blind here, people.
What are we doing, George?
Welcome to Comics Corner, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
I mean, without the music, I don't know how to say the intro, but I guess we'll move on. Well, hello, everyone.
Thank you. I can't function until
we'll fix it in post.
We will.
Do it live.
This was. I don't have a lot of single issues to talk about, but I do have a few fun ones.
Yeah, the board was kind of wonky this week.
Yeah, it was a weird week. There wasn't a lot out.
It was all War of the Realms.
Yeah, that was like all that Marvel put out this week. So thus, I have like one Marvel comic in my stack. But The Goon number 2 came out from the newly relaunched run from Albatross Funny Books.
Ooh.
And Eric Powell is going to be doing the first 4 issues on his own, and then the artist for Tank Girl is going to come on for the second
Ooh.
Arc. So that
should
be really
the one
fun.
That was doing Action Alley?
Yeah, yeah.
So nice. I'm new to the Goon mm-hmm. scene. I just, like, two nights ago, I watched the trailer for the CGI movie with Paul Giamatti that never turned into anything, and I was so angry.
I was just talking to somebody about this today.
Oh, God, I'm so mad.
But that trailer is phenomenal.
It's so perfect.
And it very, very much puts the entirety of what The Goon kind of is in a nutshell perfectly for anybody that doesn't know what it is.
Yeah, and I'm super, super wet behind the ears as far as The Goon is concerned, and that was my intro to it. I'm like, oh, no, I'm reading this.
Dude, Paul Giamatti as Frankie is the best fit like ever heard
of. I think Paul Giamatti can do anything.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites.
He's amazing.
Except Rhino, apparently.
Oh, we don't talk about that. I liked Lady in the Water. Leave me alone. Comics Corner, George.
Yeah, yeah. so we'll tear through some independents before we move on to the superheroes. But we got a Farmhand number 8. Wait, this was last week, wasn't
it? Yeah, that was last week.
Sorry.
That cover is gorgeous.
It's the Danny Trejo plant in the eyes cover.
Danny Trejo is not in Farmhand. The guy just looks like Danny Trejo.
No, it's Danny Trejo.
No, it's not.
Okay, all right.
I want it to be.
Along with the trade for Volume 1, the first issue of the second story arc of Middle West dropped this week.
Ooh.
Which so did...
And so did...
The first graphic novel for...
Yeah. That's what and the first... I said the first trade.
Sorry.
But
held up a single issue. I thought you were talking...
But yeah, it's for those who are Scotty Young fans that might not have been reading this, this is such a good book. And it's only $10 for the first 6 issues together in one, which...
I'm excited. I picked it up, so...
Awesome. But yeah, so that's super duper fun. What do you... You want to throw a couple out, Travis?
There was a really cool one. I forget who put it out, though. Road of Bones came out.
I think that was IDW.
Was IDW. You just showed it to me on the way up. Yeah, it was IDW, and the cover art on that one is awesome. It's just skulls, just a highway of beautifully drawn skulls going off into, like, the nothingness. It looks pretty cool.
And
that was probably the least gruesome... image in the whole book.
Oh, sweet. So they PG'd up the cover, huh?
Yeah.
You and Corey did a little bit of a deeper dive into the background of that one on the Comics Corner podcast.
Yeah.
Which you can listen to one up or one down from this one on the list that you're listening to right now.
Unprompted this time, Donnie. I'm impressed.
I keep taking it from you, Donnie. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
All right. But yeah, they did talk about that one quite a bit, and it seemed really interesting. Yeah, good stuff. We also got Ghost Tree from IDW as well,
ooh,
which is a very much, it has like an Asian folktale kind of a feel to it, and it's the story of this this guy that can talk to ghosts.
Gimme. I still say we need a shelf on the sales floor downstairs of like, Katie reached for this one on the A-Radio podcast.
It'd be a nice little get for our listeners.
Right?
We'll just get us a Wally Gator holding the things.
Perfect. You wanna throw that one out there?
Well, we're not going too far into it, but yeah, Faithless came out.
Yeah, Faithless. If you like Brian Azzarello and or something that is self-described as an erotic depiction of faith, sex, and the devil in the tradition of the Divine Comedy.
Huh.
So, Katie, I think this one's for you again.
Yes.
It was cool.
It was. Definitely.
And kind of gross.
You know, not for kids.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you like some mature comic books.
You know what's coming. Hand it over.
There you go. And then to quickly jump onto Marvel and DC for literally one book apiece on my end, we had The Flash Year One Part 2, which has been really weird so far.
Yeah.
It's dealing with some of his powers that he kind of in the known timeline gets a little later on, like time travel, and he very clearly does not know how to use them so far, so he's kind of just accidentally hopping to different time zones. Hmm. So well, hopefully he'll figure that out. Did you read any fun DC stuff this week?
Not really. I don't remember even what I read. I read The Road of Bones, Middle West.
Nice.
Freedom Fighters number 6 was really good this week.
Is that the end of the miniseries or they're going to 12?
They're doing a 12 cool. Maxi series.
Very nice. Very nice. I know you've been really liking that one.
I've always liked the Freedom Fighters because they never overstay their welcome.
That's fair. That's true. They usually do 6. 12 is actually a little long.
Right.
For
this
them,
is the longest run that I've ever read.
Nice.
But it's one of those that they come around every like 4 or 5 years, and you just it's a refreshing take, and it's usually an alternate time story.
Okay, yeah.
Usually the Nazis have won.
Right.
So it's been really good. So pick that up when the trade comes out if you aren't already reading it.
Right on.
It's a nice refresher from when you get sick of all the Batmans. And
yep, pretty much.
Because there's a billion of them.
And we also got a Jabba the Hutt special, because why not?
Yeah, I think we're finally getting to the end of those Age of Rebellion
one-shots.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And those are all just one-offs.
So
yeah, just one
issues. Is Marvel just doing Star Wars at this point, or is there another...
They're subletting the all-ages Marvel comics to IDW, who's been doing a bunch of like Marvel action with like the kid superheroes and then also a Star Wars line, too.
Yeah, the Star Wars Adventures.
Yeah, there you go. Which is where the Tales from Vader's Castle miniseries came out, too, which was a bunch of like spooky Halloween-style Star Wars stories. But yeah, after that, all I've got left is a couple of trades to give a shout-out. Probably my favorite of the week, and I've been really, really looking forward to this one coming out. But we got the trade for Cover, which is by Brian Michael Bendis and David Mack.
Ooh.
And it has some of the most brilliantly gorgeous painted artwork that I've seen from David Mack recently. Oh. Just a really, really
That's
pretty
like
book.
Watercolor.
It's half watercolor when it's in the real world, when the main character is kind of talking to this woman that he is totally into as far as it goes. But then there's other bits that are just regular drawn, like pencil and line books. And then there's other parts that are in black and white in like a manga style thing that are part of the actual comic book that the main character
was. That just
writes.
An exercise in art styles,
meta storytelling.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
those are that's gorgeous. The watercolor stuff is amazing.
Yeah,
that's
Ooh,
that's
beautiful.
That is beautiful.
So if you happen to be in your local comic shop and you don't know what Cover is, just flip through the book just to see how it looks. It's amazing. Also, a quick shout out. I don't really talk about these ones all that often, but East of West Volume 9 came out too. Which is getting way deep into the story. They're well into the 40s, I believe, issues-wise, when you get to this one.
I've heard nothing but amazing things about that series.
It's the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse in like a Mad Maxi-style future like world where all the, you know, the most of the world has been carved out in completely different territories than it is now. And it's this crazy sci-fi futuristic thing, but it's got a Western feel to it, too. I don't know. I love it. So good. And then one that I'm way behind on, but I've heard nothing but amazing things about, is Redlands. Volume 2 came out this week. I actually don't know much about this comic, but it is a really gorgeous book, and I feel like I need to read it.
Yeah, I think I read an early one, like, way back, but...
It's by Jordi Belair and Vanessa Del Rey, and they are really, really good. So, yeah, anyways, that's our kind of shorter comics corner for the week.
I have one little one, if
yeah,
I can jump
yeah,
in.
Yeah, totally.
One of my favorite guys, Rich Tomasso.
Oh, yeah.
Who did Dry County and Spice Seal. He also did the artwork for the All Red Boys, Dick Tracy short run that they did a few months ago. Dark Horse released the 20th anniversary hardcover of one of his earlier series.
That came out last week, and I really wanted to mention that.
Yeah.
I totally forgot.
Thank you. The Horror of Collier County is what it's called, and it's a just pretty cool classic Tomasso who's becoming, I mean, he's one of my favorite guys. I just get his dry humor and the way he frames things, and he's a really good artist. So pick that one up, too. It's in a hardcover. You guys have it downstairs. It's pretty awesome.
And a couple other comic book-related stories this week. Tom King has been pulled off Batman after issue 58.
Aww.
85. And that's a rumor.
Really? Because everywhere I read today confirmed it.
Did that get confirmed? Because I was reading about it yesterday. And
CBR
it was
and comicbook.com both confirmed it.
Mitch Garrett won't say anything, but he's been hinting that it's going to be okay, guys.
So I had heard in the article that I read first, which was mentioning that it was a rumor, and this was before the other news outlets actually started officially reporting it, which I had not actually seen yet. But Tom King has said in multiple interviews that the last 15 issues of his run, he was going to do something with Batman that nobody had ever done before, which obviously is something that a writer for a long run of Batman would love to say and kind of get people excited about. But it would only make sense that they were cutting him off at 85, which was 15 issues before the end of his run, so that they could do like a set piece final run, like a final mini series of some sort or a maxi series for 12 or 15 issues or what have you.
Yeah.
But I'm not giving up hope yet. And he's still got like 15, 14 more issues to go before they cut that off. So we've got like 6 or 7 months to see the solicitations of what's going to come after that.
He was announcing that he had a bunch of big projects that were going to start soon. So We'll see what happens.
Didn't mean to jump on your case about that one, but I care very much about this particular news article, and I wanted to throw in my two cents.
Yeah, I was watching Twitter today because I had a little bit of time, and oh, it was ugly.
I bet.
In what might be the pettiest comic book story I've read in quite a while, DC issued a cease and desist letter to the AOC comic that we talked about last week, claiming that the cover looked too much like Wonder Woman.
Oh, my God.
Come on, guys.
It was a brunette in a blue skirt, and it looked too much like Wonder Woman for their liking.
Come on, DC.
Look, there's a difference between ripping somebody off and a comic book artist being inspired by the biggest female name in comic books. Like, you, calm down. I know that you're hemorrhaging money through all of your terrible TV shows right now, but you need to stop.
Well, and the thing is, like, when it comes down to it, it's not like she had a W on her, like...
Yeah.
No.
It's not like they have a copyright to clothing.
And she wasn't wearing bracers.
Didn't have a gold tiara.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Her hair wasn't done the same way as Wonder Woman's ever worn it.
They don't have a case.
Well, like, for me, it was more of an Invincible cover than anything close to Wonder Woman.
Well, and it's even published by a publishing company that parodies the hell out of everything.
Yeah.
Like, and it's not to say that this is like a parody comic book in and of itself. It's meant to be kind of tongue-in-cheek, kind of like, oh, yeah, superhero politician. That's fun.
So with that with that logic, they need to hold that standard of, well, anytime you mention anything, you need to stop, which is absolutely not feasible when these are like the biggest names in pop culture. With that logic, in Deadpool 2, with the DC Universe comment, they should have sent a cease and desist order. You need to like go all in or don't go in at all. Like, calm down.
And the final comic book news... Napoleon Dynamite's getting a sequel
no.
in comic book form from IDW.
Why? Why? I don't understand.
Why that, not? I want to find out what happens to Tina.
That movie's not funny. It's the most unfunny movie I've ever seen. There wasn't one punchline in that entire movie at all.
I liked when he threw the action figure out the bus window.
I'm glad that you enjoyed it, George. You're too pure for this world.
Thank you.
I love that movie.
It's why? It's brilliant. Why? No,
it
it's
just
not.
Seemed like what it was like to grow up in a tiny dumb town.
Yeah. with zero social cues whatsoever.
That was our childhood.
Yeah.
have you met
know.
The people at this table?
We know. It's why we're here. I don't want to relive it, okay?
It was just one of those movies that came out of nowhere, and it was perfect for its time and place when it happened, and it was brilliant. I mean, it's hilarious. I thought it was fantastic.
I thought all the... Look, I don't understand why people like it, but I'm not telling you you're not allowed to like something. What I am telling you is there was far too much merch at Hot Topic for Napoleon Dynamite. I don't understand.
In other news, Katie was talking about DC hemorrhaging money on their TV shows. They all wrapped up with season finales this week, laying groundwork for next season. We had Supergirl mentioning Leviathan, which we'll see where that goes. The Flash was probably the most heartbreaking out of all of them for their season finale. It was really heart-wrenching. And if you've been keeping up with Legends of Tomorrow, they finally wrapped up the Constantine in Hell storyline.
Oh, nice.
So, speaking of wrapping up DC, the final episode of Doom Patrol will be airing this week, and if you are not watching the show, oh my god, you are missing out something fierce.
I've heard nothing but great things.
I'll binge it someday.
I feel bad.
It'll be summer binge when all the new shows are over.
Yeah, I think I really feel bad because what happened was this and Umbrella Academy came out the same week.
Oh, yeah.
And you were able to binge Umbrella Academy, and it got all the hype. This show...
So it's just dropping weekly?
Yeah.
Okay.
Doom Patrol,
I like that actually better.
Doom Patrol has been... these last like three episodes have just been phenomenal television. It's so absurdly weird that... Don't watch it with the kids. That's all I got to say.
Right.
Is it on a streaming service at all or no?
It's on DC Universe.
Oh, okay. Streaming. Okay.
As much as I would have loved to see the Young Animals version of it, this was such a good show.
Yeah.
Right on.
The Flex Mentallo scenes when he's on Danny Street.
Wait, did they go like weird dimension hopping?
Kinda.
Okay, cool.
That's all I think about
when I hear Flex Mentallo.
They went to the edge of the page where it's just all white.
Nice. Oh my god. All right, I have to watch that show. I love that character and all the weirdness that comes along with him.
He flexed the wrong muscle and things went screamingly bad.
So they do get there at the end.
Yeah.
But I'm right, like, at the middle.
Dude, I cannot believe they're playing that, like, the comic book. That's so good.
Like, they battled a bunch of man-eating, farting butts. Oh, the butts just jumped around. I'm like, I can't believe this made television.
Somebody got a hold of my 7th grade sketchbook.
I now cannot wait to watch this show.
It's been
great.
You
had me at screaming butt
I was a little off with Brendan Fraser at first, but that character's grown on me something fierce over the 13 episodes. So if you get a chance, the first episode, I think you can actually get free somewhere.
Okay.
I remember seeing they were saying the first episode was free to watch.
Alexa, play first episode of
Doom Patrol.
Oh, that's
Doom
screwed Patrol. Up. Somebody is just right now yelling at their Alexa. We're sorry.
Doom Patrol!
Alexa, turn off the TV.
Stop it, Derek.
I'm afraid I can't do that, Derek.
So I changed my wake word on my Alexa to computer. And
computer.
Computer, hello. Hello. It's funny because you can go, computer, Earl Grey, hot. And it'll actually talk about the Enterprise. It's like, that function isn't available on this deck, sir.
That's amazing.
That's pretty cool.
But you don't realize how many times a TV show will use the word computer over the word Alexa.
Right.
Ow.
Some other news we got. Let's see. New Coke is coming back for a limited time
in partnership
with the Stranger Things season premiere.
Okay, that makes sense.
I love 80s marketing. I want more of it.
Yeah. That was one of the greatest coups of all time.
It's so blatant and shameless, and I'm sad I missed out on it.
I hate the whole New Coke debacle that happened. There were old people screaming at the sun. It was out of control.
Wait, when was that? When did that happen?
85?
Okay, so this was long before my time, so I don't even know what that was.
Oh, yeah. I remember my grandparents. They were just screaming. They couldn't leave well enough alone. There's New Coke out. Now there's New Coke and Old Coke. I can't take this.
There are many business minds out there that believe that whole thing was completely orchestrated.
Next week on Underground Files, because I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah, it was totally brilliant. Just to drive. Pepsi was kind of kicking their butt. They had Michael Jackson on the Super Bowl and all this kind of stuff. They think they launched this whole thing to piss people off so that when they brought back Coca-Cola Classic, everyone would rush to the store and buy Coca-Cola Classic.
Brilliant.
And guess what? It worked because I think Coca-Cola has been number one ever since.
Since then, yeah.
I think the reason Coke has been number one, though, is all your restaurants, your movie theaters,
McDonald's.
Everywhere.
Who else do you need besides McDonald's? I mean, they've been partnered with Coke forever.
Also, Pepsi tastes like hot, flat Coke, so.
What if it's cold?
Send your hate mail to you. Opinions with Katie.
My opinions are mine.
You're going to need a bigger mailbox next week, Katie.
I'm going to just don't send me letters from prison, please.
You're just opening the door when you say that.
Wait, what'd you say?
You're just opening the door when you say that.
Donnie started it, and we've been doing it for 99 episodes.
True. You're not wrong.
Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance series is coming to Netflix August 30th. Jim Henson's Creature Shop will be doing the effects, so the Olsen twins will be playing the lead roles.
They're one person, Donnie. They're just moving very fast,
so you can see them both at the same time.
Not.
They're two separate individual people, and they're people.
You need to watch John Oliver. He corrects you on that.
They're lizard people, but they're still people.
What if it was a lizard person with super speed powers that could also move
very fast? They all have that.
Okay.
That's just redundant at that point.
Okay. Just making sure.
John Wick 3 finally knocked Endgame out of number one position, which it wasn't a huge, it was like $58 million I think they took in, which for that, an R-rated action movie isn't that bad.
No, that's pretty
good.
Actually.
John Wick 4 is scheduled to release in 2021.
They're just going to beat this to death,
aren't
they?
I mean, if Fast and Furious.
John Wick on two horses now.
So the John Wick series I know nothing about.
I liked the first one. I didn't like the second one.
What are they rated?
R.
Oh yeah.
Is it just violence and language, or is it sexual?
No, there's some nudity.
Is there? Okay.
It's not. But a lot of it's also like some disturbing imagery. Like
without any other element, it would earn the R from the violence.
Well, I mean that's why. So they did a tie-in with Fortnite.
Yeah,
I heard about
that. So it's curious to me that if it is that R, that why, you know, why they would do it.
Because adults are playing Fortnite more than the kids at this point.
Yeah, but to me, that's still like marketing to kids
there
almost.
One of the losing baseball or football teams vowed that none of the players will play Fortnite until they start winning again.
They were all in the locker room before the game.
I think it was a baseball team, like Cardinals or something, but they're like, yeah, nobody's allowed to play until we start winning.
So, of course,
winning.
I get asked about it, right, because my kids are playing Fortnite, right? And they're like, hey, what's this John Wick? What do you know about it? And I'm like, well, I haven't really watched it. I don't know if you can watch it, but I know people that know. I'm going to ask them.
How old are your kids?
12 and going to be 8.
So I'm going to...
But I don't think... Yeah.
So I'm going to...
From what you're saying, I don't think
they're... To tell you, we're gonna call this episode the time we spoil everything for Derek. So the first 10 minutes of it, he gets this beagle puppy from his dead wife to be like, I don't want you to be alone, and then just this team of assassins come in and kill his puppy.
Up to and including Theon Greyjoy, if you know who that is.
Yeah, so I wouldn't recommend it.
So now I'm out.
Yeah. No, I fully agree with you, but it's a really good movie, and I do recommend it.
It's a revenge story because they killed his dog.
One of the biggest things that angered me about the Weatherman comic series
was that dog was so awesome.
He really was. That dog had a total personality. I thought it could have been a cool character throughout the whole comic.
Derek, this is the most correct thing that you've ever said. I didn't watch Neverending Story until I was 17, and I fully would not talk to my grandma for 3 days because the horse died. I was like, what is wrong with you? No, I'm out as soon as the animal dies.
Oh, yeah.
I can't do it. John Wick is still really good, though. I do recommend that you watch it.
I might watch it someday.
I just watched it. Ian let me borrow it like a week and a half ago.
I know you were asking me about it. I was like, man, I'm in the dark too. I don't.
Being a new whatever convert to John Wick, at least the first one, It lived up to the hype.
Yeah, the first one is amazing.
It's really, really
good.
The
second one was a little. Did you ever see Crank with Jason Statham?
No.
Okay. No.
That's a movie.
We can't go down the rabbit
hole. Then
there was
Crank
movies
two,
I haven't seen because we would be here forever. I will say. It's got to be making money if they've announced a number four before number three
money.
Is even hit the theater. So
I'm not a big action movie person, but that's probably one of the best action movies that I've seen in a really long time.
The action sequences are amazing to watch. Yeah. Like I said, the second one, the story is garbage. It was one continuous two-hour action scene, basically.
Yeah, I've only seen the first one.
And at one point, you're like, come on, just reload the gun.
Right.
reload. Ghostbusters 3 is said that they're not going to use CGI if at all possible, and they will strictly be using practical effects and puppets.
That's
Holy
rad.
Crap.
Oh
That's
my
impressive.
God, I'm so excited.
If they can pull
That's
that off.
The best news I've heard all week.
They said there is likelihood that at some point they'll have to put some CGI in.
Sure, yeah, of course
but
they will.
They want to focus on bringing back the puppets and the practical
Good
effects.
Good for them.
A couple episodes, we were talking about how practical effects were dying, and now we get to be like, no, this is actually like a thing that we want to keep this going because it's such a cool art form.
I would trust Mr. Reitman's son to do right by it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, not Bill Murray, the other one.
Aykroyd
said he's working on a prequel, Ghostbusters.
That's animated?
Something to do with in the 60s, a ghostbusting team. So.
And am I right about that? Was it?
I think it's supposed to be animated.
It was going to be animated or something? Okay.
So we'll see if that comes to fruition or not.
And then Aykroyd, too, has made several statements saying that from what he's seen so far on Ghostbusters 3, that he's saying all the right things. It's in the right hands. Things are going great. It looks awesome.
He also did say that about Ghostbusters, whatever we're going to call it.
Yeah. Yeah.
What,
that's
the reboot
fair.
One with the
yes,
girl one?
Yes.
Yeah, you know what? That was a great movie.
I
like
it too, no. But it didn't do well box office wise.
Right.
All three remaining members of the Ghostbusters team were really hyped about it when it came out, and it didn't do that well.
Right.
So.
No.
He also has a stake in it, so.
Well, that's fair.
I mean, he's he wants it to do well because he's getting paid if it does well.
Yeah, he's like,
so.
No, I need this to do well, please. Right. Thank you.
So internet icon Grumpy Cat passed away this week.
No.
I
didn't know that.
Hannah, yeah, it was really sad.
You guys got books on your walk-in table for Grumpy Cat. I thought it was a memorial.
It might be.
It is, but George is not in charge of that. So one of my favorite things that Hannah posted was a picture of Stan Lee holding Grumpy Cat and Stan Lee making the Grumpy Cat face.
Oh my God.
And the caption was, this picture is now an ancient relic and a part of human history, and I just need a framed picture of it somewhere.
Due to the tariff war currently going on between us and China, it's anticipated that board games will be going up between 25% and 50% in cost.
Oh, God.
That's not the only thing.
Well, no, but...
Yeah, I know. We're going to be having $9 tomatoes here next month.
When we're looking at most, your average board game between $39 and $59 on the low end...
That's going to price some people out.
A lot of people.
And CMON doing $200 board games.
For 200 miniatures.
Well, do we need 200 miniatures?
How much?
I just got 300 over the last month.
How much was the...
probably not.
The Hellboy board game.
It was 150 for the all-in pledge, I do believe.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, by
the
way...
And then they added on some extra stuff after that, so you're looking at 200.
Also, by the way, y'all, Market 8.
Market 8, dude.
Excuse me. Market 0 next frame.
I needed to call myself out. I think I missed like 3 weeks.
You have. I haven't wanted to bring it up because after the Hellboy episode, we ran out of Hellboy to talk about.
I disagree.
And it didn't seem fair, so.
I bought my 112 collection Hellboy today.
Nice.
He's if you want to look it up, it's like the Mike Mignola based artwork looking one, not the David Harbour one that's going to come out next year, but I got my Hellboy and he's going to get set up on the shelf at home and he's going to be beautiful.
So since we're not going to do birthdays this week, I got one little last bit of Disney Plus news.
Oh yeah.
They actually did a little walkthrough of what everything's going to look like. It looks a lot like your Netflix, your typical streaming stuff.
Yeah.
They've got everything broken up by, you've got a Disney box to click on, Star Wars box, a Marvel box, and a National Geographic box,
because
apparently that's going to be part of the service. $7 a month or $70 for a year.
That's really not that bad.
No, and they're still talking about possibly doing a package with that, Hulu and ESPN+. We'll see what the pricing is. They listed basically how many shows and movies are going to be available at launch. It's impressive.
It is. I actually was reading that same article this morning.
The amount of original content is impressive.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the main
25 shows right off the bat, 50 by the end of
the next year.
Next year, that's right.
So 50 original shows by 1 year in. We're 7 months in with DC, and I've gotten 2.5 original series so far.
No.
So by the time DC rolls out all their original shows that they're talking about, we will be in 2021.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're rolling them out one at a time, let the whole season play, and then the next one.
You think it can survive? I mean, they're going to have to bundle with somebody, right?
Well, with the whole Warner Brother channel coming out, I got a feeling it's going to be part of
Them together.
It's going to be one thing. I don't think DC can, because they were hoping that people were going to get on board because they've got one of the largest comic libraries available.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I read a lot on my Kindle. I still can't bring myself to read comics on a regular basis on my Kindle.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I agree. I got to touch it and feel it. It's got to be tactile.
I don't like the way each panel enlarges just so you can read it, and then you're missing out on half the art that was meant to go with it.
Right.
But that's just me, so.
No, it's not just you. I really don't think that's like
the one
a
at a time
opinion.
Thing might be a strategic choice, though, because that might be because, like we were talking about with Doom Patrol and Umbrella Academy, Doom Patrol really didn't have much of a chance as far as that was concerned.
You couldn't binge it.
Right, so maybe like having it.
Maybe, but it's.
I don't know. I think after MoviePass fired Ted Toppelboffer. He went over to run the DC Plus channel, and he's running it into the ground.
Oh.
It's been, and I think a lot of hurt DC off right off the bat was it wasn't available for a lot of platforms. Like, I had to hack my Fire Stick in order to get it to play the DC Universe at first.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah.
No.
So we'll see where it goes. Hopefully it can survive. If not, maybe the Warner Brothers channel will bundle it with everything else, and we can still have some original DC shows. Speaking of which, Swamp Thing is the next one to come out. It starts the end of next week, I want to say.
And that trailer looks amazing.
Did you ever get to watch the original Swamp Thing television series?
No.
It it's got the same vibe. It really does. It was a creepy horror-esque TV show.
So it's more Ellen Moore-esque?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. I'm down.
Yeah. So, and I think that's what they're going with. They're going for the creepy horror vibe, swamp thing in Louisiana swamp. So.
I have no complaints.
Yeah. And with that, folks, we're going to wrap this bad boy up. Travis, please make the button work.
I'll do my best.
Katie?
Thank you for having me, Donnie.
Thank you for showing up. George!
Donnie!
George!
Donnie!
Mr. Duck?
Thank you, Donnie.
Thank you. And with that, folks, we are out of here.
Nothing can kill the grouse. Nothing can kill the grouse.
You've been listening to AU Radio. Music is provided by CubbyAndBenSound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio Podcast is a production of Adventures Underground. Copyright 2018. All rights reserved.